Wattenberg, and sitting in for Bill Wattenberg today will be Scott Gold. Not Bill Graff, but Scott Gold today on KSCO Presents on KOMY. It's Dead Doctors Don't Lie with Dr. Joel Wallach. This is KSCO Santa Cruz, KOMY Watsonville. It's 6 minutes past noon.
And now, KSCO Presents Dr. Bill Wattenberg. If you'd like to talk to Dr. Wattenberg today, give us a telephone call at area code 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, Dr. Bill Wattenberg.
Well, surprise, surprise. It's not Bill Wattenberg. It's Scott D. Gold. I was asked to sit in, which is a huge honor, and I'm going to be honest with you. I can't fill Dr. Bill's shoes, so I'm not even going to try. I did some research on Dr. Bill. I also want to thank MZ for having me in. Also with that, want to try to get you guys to go to KSCO.com and look up the Dale and MZ Rush Limbaugh email thread. That's kind of where we're headed today in this show. Little fragmented as I settle in here. But with that said, back to Bill Wattenberg. As many as you can, go to KSCO.com, click on that and read it. It's very interesting stuff and might kind of be a precursor for where we're headed here. With that said, Dr. Bill Wattenberg, I would consider myself the opposite. I'm going to do a little background on me. It's not easy to do. I tried to take some notes, and I'll be honest, this is the first time I've done show prep. I heard some of the other hosts are always spending hours and hours, so I actually I bought 4 or 5 newspapers. I never opened one of them, but I did do show prep, and I have lists and lists of papers here because of this issue. My name is Scott D. Gold. Part of why I'm excited to come in here is because of where we've come from and where we're headed. When I say where we've come from, I would consider myself an entrepreneur. I consider myself more white trash working class, as we say. White trash working class, meaning I've got several businesses. I've always worked since I was a young kid. I actually grew up one block up the street on Corcoran here from the radio station. We moved up here from Los Angeles in 1975. And I think my first job was I started a lawn mowing service. I found an old lawnmower. A guy was throwing away a truck driver down the street, and it was out in the garbage. I tied it to my bike, and I was probably 10 years old. I towed that lawnmower home, and I asked my dad. He was a machinist and a mechanic, and so we tore the engine apart. Apparently there was a bent valve or a broken valve. It was a 4-stroke motor. Rebuilt it, started that lawn mowing service, went door to door asking anybody that wanted lawn mowing. Ended up getting a couple apartment complexes here on Corcoran Avenue and over on 24th. Meanwhile, I had applied at the Santa Cruz Sentinel for a paper route. I wanted Route 128. Some of this stuff might go on and on, but there is a story here. It goes back to my great-grandfather, actually. I wanted to get this Route 128. There was about 150 papers thrown. It was in my neighborhood. The bulk of it was a trailer park. But they only had a route down the railroad track. So I went out and hustled, and I said I'd take that route. Kept the lawn mowing service, and kept working away at that. And threw papers every day. Eventually the 128 came available, but they told me that I couldn't have that route because they had no one to cover the other route, 126. So I told him I'd take that one on too, about 11, 12 years old. Continued doing that. I met a guy down at a local business, Bill Dunlop, on Dunlop's Donuts. And I used to end my route down there after my second route. Well, he asked me if I wanted a job cleaning the donut shop at the end of my route. Of course, being a young entrepreneur, I said yes. Ended up doing that. So I had the two routes, went down at the end of the street there, cleaned the donut shop for years, and eventually sold the paper or the lawn mowing service and moved on to a food prep out at the Greenhouse restaurant. I don't know if you guys remember that, the farm Greenhouse restaurant. Eventually, you know, somehow, I don't know how, my dad wasn't technically, he wasn't a businessman. He worked for multiple companies. He attempted one business, but I don't know how. We didn't have much money growing up. We didn't have any money, really. You know, there was times where I'd loan my parents money to help pay the bills when I was a kid. We had to buy our own clothes. We had to do everything ourselves to some degree. And it's not a poverty story. It's not I feel bad. Or what I'm getting at is the foundation of the American dream. And that goes back to my great grandfather, who was a furrier in Russia. He wanted to be rich, obviously. And where do you go to live out or even try, deal a hand in the American dream? You go to America. They took the whole family out here, landed in San Francisco, moved to LA. He was a furrier, and as talking to my uncle, he was like a furrier to the stars. He built a business. He did realize the American dream. He did go out and he hustled. He invested in property. This is early on when LA was really small. He invested into the stock market. He realized the American dream. He became a millionaire right out of Russia. You know, took years and years, obviously. Some of the things I see in today's, in our country, and generally I don't branch out beyond our country. I'm more of a nationalist when it comes to that, and worried about our own more than I'm worried about everyone else. With this story, I started doing construction when I was a young kid. I was at one point the youngest building contractor in California at age 22. Spent 2 days in an office when I applied and took the test, did all that. They checked my tax records, went through a two-day, I guess that's the WADIR, you make sure that you actually have the experience. I was a apprenticeship from 16 to 18 full-time, and my journeyman level 4 years was 18 to 22. I worked 7 days a week. I've always worked. I'm a retired police officer, did that at nights, and still ran a construction company. Got involved in redeveloping and redesigning a golf product with Fred Couples, Laird Small, Pebble Beach. They're all partners on this. It's Divot Mat. Started a printing company called Shirt Crafter. Obviously came up with and have been running in Blanc Basseur clothing, which ended up moving into Blanc Basseur Beverage Company, which is now Bruvado Imports. Along with that, I've applied and received several patents. I know that's what we were joking about earlier. I read about some of Dr. Bill Wattenberg's patents, and these are incredible patents. I mean, ultimately, you look at my patents, and they're for producing and packaging beer and spirits together, although no one's ever done that. It's been illegal. We can go into that whole thing. But my patents are very, very, like I said, white trash. I'm the direct opposite of Bill Wattenberg. That's what I'm getting at here. I'm trying to paint a picture here. The only thing that I do have is that I've worked my butt off, and I've hustled and hustled, and I've seen so many different things here as I travel the country. And I'm gone most of the week traveling around the country, and I talk to so many people. Uh-oh. We back? There you go. Something's cutting out.
We never lost you.
Oh, really? Oh, there you go. Is my, I'm sorry, technical difficulties here. I touched my earpiece. Anyways, I travel around. I just see so many different things. And when I watch the news, when I watch and I read the paper and I look at stuff, I don't see that. I see something that's so different in the world. And just recently, I just got tied into this, and that's why I wanted to mention the KSCO.com, Dale and MZ, and that, I started really paying attention to that and came up with one conclusion that we're going to go over here. It's just a couple things. I want to get into the divide and conquer, divide and rule. When I was starting the police, I was down in Capitola, and there was the old chief, Broughton, and It's funny because they have a POA, Police Officers Association, and if you don't show up to the meeting, somehow they end up voting you in as the president. It's kind of, I think, a penalty for not showing up to the meeting. So you come back the next time and they say, oh, you're the POA president, which is kind of a nightmare. And it gets into unions and all that stuff. So I got to experience some of that. But one of the things he said, I was really frustrated early on, and I asked the chief one time, I said, man, you do all this stuff, and it seems like you're on our side sometimes, you're not on. And he began to explain to me the divide and conquer and what it was about. And if he could keep us fighting, he could keep the city fighting and not get us all together, he could continue to run the police department and run his thing his way. I was shocked first, and then I started doing research about it. And this is years ago, and now I look at where we're at today, and I'll be honest, it's divide and conquer. None of these issues really matter. None of them, we're divided down the center. And as I talk to different people, I'm all over the map. You know, you could call me a conservative, but I'm all over the map on these issues. I don't have a set agenda that these, you know, I'm not this person that they're claiming I am. It depends on the issue. I'm willing to, and the more people I talk to, the more people I feel like are like me. That how can you push me into this spot? And while being pushed into that spot, I'll be honest with you, I'm called everything from a racist. I guess I found out yesterday that I'm a birther also, because a birther, yeah, question mark. I didn't even know they had a birther, but I'm a birther.
And okay, that's tell me, what's a birther?
Yes. Apparently, the birther is someone that doesn't believe or wants solid proof about the president's birth certificate. And I've never seen it. My biggest complaint, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I'm just waiting for you to finish.
All right. Well, my biggest complaint has always been, why would someone spend so much money and so much time to not show it? I don't get that. I've never understood that.
If there wasn't a problem.
Yes.
Well, we don't know.
And let me introduce
We're
Sam.
We're supposed to take it
Sam's
off.
Sam's at the controls here. Thank God, Sam. Thank God, because I'm not. Every time I try to run the control board, I make a mess of it.
I got your back, Scott.
Thank you. And we've got David on the phones, manning the phones. It looks like he's working overtime over there because we've got nothing but calls coming in.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I want to give the...
479-1080. And this is an open show. This is, you know, we're going to get farther into this Limbaugh thing and farther into this. We'll stay with birther right now. I just don't agree. I've seen different stuff along the way, and I don't understand it. Why would they Photoshop something originally, and then the guy admit, well, I Photoshopped it just to get it turned in. Who Photoshops a birth certificate?
The use of Photoshop implies something's wrong.
Exactly.
Something's hinky there.
And then you go, you know, no one in, you know, if you even, and this is the thing that really pisses me off, is now I'm a racist because I even bring it up. They're calling me a racist.
They will throw that term around anytime they get an opportunity, even though it has no business being used.
Well, it scares me because every time I make a comment or do something, I'm a racist. I can't say that I'm 100% a conservative. On certain issues, I am. Certain issues, I'm actually very liberal. In certain issues, I'm independent. I'm mostly right in the middle, kind of bouncing around. I don't have a solid, and I think a lot of us are that way. We actually, from the birther thing, we go into, you know, I'm going to finish my, it's not easy to do. I'll finish, you know, some of the stuff, the shirt crafter, I don't have a big education. I don't even want to get into that. I'm not a, super educated, you know, my hobbies go back to golf, surfing and racing. Those are the three things. If I could do anything at any time.
Those are Santa Cruz kind of hobbies.
I feel like I love Santa Cruz. Every day, every week I come back to Santa Cruz, and I'll tell you something. I'm so relieved when I get back here. You know, when they say, and I read a lot of stuff on here. I'm going to read some statements I read about Santa Cruz, and I agree and disagree. But Santa Cruz is a beautiful place. I love being here. I tell people that never been here, they, you know, is it safe? The one thing they always ask me is it safe? And I say, that's very safe. It's a very safe place. It's a great community, I think.
It's a wonderful place to live.
Yes.
It's fantastic.
We had a couple calls. They're down now. Back to the birther and being a racist. Your group in this whole, you know, in the Limbaugh thing, I'll say, because that's back to kind of where we're heading. I want to do a brief thing on this because of the post on KSCO.com. I'm going to read kind of a statement. This is not me. This is just something I picked up on Facebook. So I'm not going to mention any names or on any of this stuff. I'm just going to read some of this stuff. I'm pissed off about the 1% stealing our wealth. Working, doing ceramics, hobby is research on politics, history, and economics. News junkie, urge total nonviolent global revolution to create actual democracy everywhere. Everyone is well off. Left libertarian and free thinker, anti-fascist. Everyone is well off. That's the important part of that. Let me get to this other part. Take bugs outside so they can get some sun. Don't pay people to kill innocent animals so you can stuff your face. Nonviolent resistance, satire, love. My vision is of a hybrid system of a worker-owned and controlled business competing in free markets. Decentralized and with the state only providing police to ensure playing by fair rules. End all wars. Cut defense by 90%. Universal health care and education. Jail for anyone taking or giving money to politicians or to influence government elections or elections. Hate capitalism, socialist, libertarian, truther. A member of the California Green Party. Nonviolent revolution. Fact-based, vision-driven, no killing.
And these were Facebook or tweets?
This is on Facebook, and this kind of leads up to this whole thing. The idea that, this gets into this whole... I made copies of the Give Limbaugh the Bum Rush petition that's on... And you can find all this on KSCO.com. And I guess I did it because I heard about this and I started reading this. And when I did read through, and I read through all... I guess there's 1,179 signatures, and I read through and I looked at names, and I directly identified...
This is on the Rough petition?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I identified 11 or 12 personal people that I know that are friends, family, that signed this. And out of those 11 or 12, all of them do not listen to KSCO, which, you know, makes me kind of wonder in the basis of this.
Did they know what they were signing?
Yeah, they want Rush Limbaugh off KSCO.
Okay.
But in general,
that's what they want.
Yes, it says remove Rush Limbaugh from KSCO lineup out of respect of human decency. But I didn't find a lot of human decency in the comments, which was interesting. Isn't that weird?
Yes.
It's just odd. I just don't get it. I don't. And like I said, this is an open forum.
Selective freedom of speech.
It is. It's. You know. So what I did was the last three or four episodes of Limbaugh I sat through, and I'm going to be honest, I'm not a Rush Limbaugh fan. I don't mind listening to him. I listen to it like I would listen to anything else. With a grain of salt. Certain things make sense, certain things don't. I also listen to Alex Jones. What an entertainer.
Yes.
What a rant he can go on.
They're both entertainers and very good.
I'm afraid to go on a rant here because I use the seven bad words. I wrote them down so I wouldn't say them. Rants scare me a little bit because I like to.
Just George Carlin hovering over you.
Yes. But here's the problem. I found that these comments were vile as much or worse. So where do you draw the line? And then I also looked into other stuff. But someone like station manager, do you feel ashamed of broadcasting such lies and divisiveness? That's not so bad. But it gets into more like I'm stunned that you were broadcasting this racist and bigot in Santa Cruz. You know, I listened to him for 4 days straight. I didn't hear any racism. I didn't hear the bigotry. And I've listened to him in the past.
But he is bombastic, and they don't like the position he comes from, therefore censor him. Don't change the channel and listen to something else.
This is where this whole thing's going, and, you know, I've talked about this before. In their perfect world, there is not one radio station, not one TV channel, not one thing that you will turn on that can disagree with what their thinking is. instead of changing the channel, not listening, which the people that I can identify on here don't even listen. So why are they even, you know, early on you'd hear that we got to get to Gary here. But if mind your own business, just if you don't like it, hey, change the channel.
Right.
It's not that hard.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
There's people that actually do like Limbaugh. I don't dislike Limbaugh. I listened to it.
Millions and millions.
I think he's on too long. Like 3 hours is a long time.
He wouldn't be on. He wouldn't be on every day.
Let's get Gary from Carmel. Welcome aboard, Gary.
Got to punch him in.
Oh, I do. Oh, wow. All right. I was looking at you. Gary, are you there?
Yeah, hello.
How are you doing?
Yeah, you know, I'm doing fine. You know, I just wanted to, before you got too far afield from the birther issue, there are very few spots when a person can call in about that. Because there's so little respect for it, but I'd just like to point out, make just one major point about the birther issue, and that's this: that if you turn the volume up on race enough, you can get the volume of truth to almost be turned down off. You know, just almost turned off. You know, you can get the volume down on truth almost completely, and so, I think that applies to the birther issue, a dead target. You know, I mean, the truth about whether or not we have a usurper in office is a pretty big truth, and we've managed to, this administration has managed to almost turn the volume off on the subject, and I can't see why.
Gary, are you a birther?
You know, I think there are questions there that need to be answered because they're not, and because of the attempt that has been made to answer them has been met with racism. I think that makes me if I was going to be a birther.
It's a yes or no question.
He's
a bubble birther.
From what I have read, the indications are that not only is the man a Muslim, but the king.
Hold on. Gary, can you hold for 1 second? We're gonna break here real quick. Try to make some money. Hang on one second.
We'll be right back. You're listening to KSEO AM 1080.
I've been talking about Sleep Number for a while now and how much I love my bed. My goodness, it's made such a tremendous difference in the way both Celeste and I sleep. My Sleep Number bed is up there around 100. I like it nice and firm. Celeste, 80 or so. What's great about the people at Sleep Number, they're always looking for ways to improve the way we sleep. And they've done it again with a memory foam bed. The all-new Sleep Number memory foam bed is a perfect combination of cool contouring foam and the unique adjustability of the Sleep Number bed. Dual air technology. That's what makes their memory foam bed unique. At the heart of the mattress are two individually adjustable air chambers that allow you to personalize your comfort. It's memory foam redefined. You only get this bed at a Sleep Number store. You can enjoy introductory savings of $400 on the all-new Sleep Number memory foam bed. And right now, during their white sale, you can stock up and save on their exclusive bedding collection. There are 400 Sleep Number stores nationwide, but the one you want is on 41st Avenue in Capitola Mall. Say hello to Carlos, the store manager, and be sure and tell him that Charlie Friedman from the Happy Hour program on KSCO is the one who sent you down.
Welcome to Automated Computer Services, America's most drawn-out tech support line. One moment, please.
At any time during this recording, you may press the 5 key, should you feel so inclined. Press 1 for Spanish, 2 for Bushman, 4 for a remote dialect in Peru, 5 for English, 6. If you know your party's extension, please wait for your opportunity to dial it. If you'd like to speak with a human, you've called the wrong number. If you've reached this message after hours, please return to the secondary main sub-menu by pressing the pound key 7 times, followed by the 8 key. If you feel you've reached this recording in error, we wish you better luck next time.
Tired of unfriendly computer support? If you're having a computer problem, call the friendly computer experts at User Friendly Computing. Viruses, spyware, no problem. We take care of all your PC, Macintosh, and laptop needs. Visit us today at 505 River Street on the way to downtown Santa Cruz, across from Gateway Plaza. Call us today at 423-9653. User Friendly Computing.
We live in the age of mobile devices. They keep us in touch and informed. They help us work and play. And they all use rechargeable batteries. But these batteries aren't just rechargeable, they're recyclable. And more than 50,000 free drop-off locations across North America make it easy and convenient. We all enjoy the freedom that mobile technology gives us. Let's accept the responsibility to pass that freedom on. Find out how you can answer the call to recycle. Visit calltorecycle.org.
CarmelRon.com, CarmelRon.com. My name is Ron Cabot. I'm a certified public accountant in Carmel, and I've been an independent voter since 1980. I'd like to voice your concerns in Congress and run for the House of Representatives. Please visit my website, CarmelRon.com, CarmelRon.com. This ad was paid for by Ron Cabot, CPA.
Welcome back. This is Scott D. Gold sitting in for Dr. Bill Wattenberg, and in front of me is Sam Quentin. We have Gary on the line. I'm trying to get his last statement. You made a statement. I asked you if you were a birther or not, and you made a comment. At the very end, we didn't understand what it was. Go ahead, Gary.
You know, I don't like euphemisms or I don't like to be categorized by a single word, because most subjects are more go in more directions than you can answer with one word. So I don't like that. But I will say this, that from what I've read, the indications would indicate that not only is he a Kenyan and doesn't have proof of being born in this country, it would also appear that he's Muslim. Now, is that bad? No, it's only bad if he wants to be president. And we've never addressed that in full, and it doesn't look like we will. And one of the reasons I believe that we won't is because most people who make law and enforce law know what would happen if that law was enforced at this point.
In a couple ways, we were just talking during the break, is this going to be another who shot Kennedy? For the rest of our lives, we're going to hear this, or are they going to, if there is actual proof, which I've looked and seen both sides of it. If there's someone willing to defend him, I mean, please call in, because here's your chance to throw some facts in front of us. But well, like, as far as I've seen, I'm proud to say that, I didn't even know I was a birther, but there's some unanswered questions here, and I want them answered.
Absolutely. That's my point. Now whether I think that that the question, though, gets lost in the legal entanglement. Of how do you enforce this now that he's actually taken power when he shouldn't have.
Exactly, and then that's a whole nother story. But one of the first things that I saw that really threw a flag up for me was he sent a team of lawyers right off the bat in there to block him having to show the birth certificate. Why would you do that if you have a birth certificate? Why would you send attorneys to go down, spend all this money and time, our legal system, abusing the legal system at this point, because he's supposed to show us that. He doesn't. There's a right that we should see this, just like there was a right we should see his documentation from where he went to college, what his studies were, and all that stuff's been blocked.
That all those folks that made sure that he got elected, and I believe there are those folks, quote unquote, knew that that the case would. Would go stale and not have to be answered because of what? Because of race. That's the issue.
I've never heard someone say we've got to get rid of this guy because he's black. I've never ever heard that. It goes back to, is he qualified? I think that's proof by itself. We can look at right now. You can say whatever you want, but. What is it? The fifth straight month, housing prices have gone down. Come on, we're not in better shape right now. I'm going to move on, Gary. We've got Phil from Santa Cruz. Thank you very much. KSCO 479-1080. Phil, how you doing, buddy? Oh, man, I'm blowing it here. I'm the guy. I keep looking at Sam, and he gives me a blank look. All right, Phil, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks. I'm just, I'm kind of a little dumbfounded why we're still stuck. I mean, this birthing thing, it's so irrelevant of what is going on in this world today that we're still stuck on the same argument from 3 years ago, 4 years ago when it first started. There's so many other things that are that should be taking our discussion and our focus. It's just
and you do you anyway, feel you feel well. Like you've it's been answered and everything's cleared up.
Well, okay, what would be your end game if say somebody did? I mean, what is the point of getting to the bottom of this? What is going to change? What will change?
He's not eligible. President is one thing, and he basically lied. And I don't appreciate a president lying to me and lying to the country.
We
flat out lied. If it comes out, he's flat out lied to us. And some countries, I'd be hung or shot for that, and we might be heading in that direction.
You believe that's unique to Obama as far as the president, that he lied to the country?
I don't think it's unique, but I don't appreciate anybody lying to me. So other people have lied, so I should just accept lying as being okay for the number one seat in the country? No, I don't think so. I'm not gonna expunge someone from lying because, for instance, I'll use Clinton lied or Nixon lied, Bush lied, Bush Senior lied. That doesn't expunge you, whatever the word is, from lying. This is the top seat in the House, and if you're lying about something like that, that's I don't want them in there. No, I'm
yeah.
sorry.
Well, I can't believe that we're still discussing. I mean, I can't believe that there's still interest in this. It's just a few people, and I don't believe it's racism. It's people that are not Obama backers, and they're focusing on this. I think it's totally counterproductive. It's not helping what's going on now. It's not addressing the issue that we have a government that doesn't function. It's,
go ahead, Sam. Jump in.
Right.
Sam's got a comment.
Well, Phil, as you know, I agree that in some respects that is true. But obviously the reason why it's coming up is because he's in line to be running for president for a second term. And it suddenly becomes a relevant topic again. That's why. And, yes, of course, it is brought up by the Republican side of the aisle and put into the public forum.
Why would the Democratic side bring it up? They don't want to do that.
Well, no.
That'd crush their whole party. Come on.
They're using lawyers and a lot of money and power to suppress whatever the truth is.
And I'll say that's our biggest problem is why would you spend so much money, attorneys and all that, to suppress it when if it's not true, you know, show us.
If it's real, then.
And they've done that over and over. They've pushed it and pushed it. So.
If this was such a pivotal, important fact, why does it only come up then again in the reelection talk? Why hasn't this been in the front page for 3 years? You know why? Because people want to move past it.
Well, we got our own suspicions about that, too.
Yeah.
Certain things are calm, you know, certain depends, and that's back to that same thing I said earlier, that certain stations, they don't let certain things out, and you don't hear about it, and you know, having a guy like Rush, yeah, there's a lot of stuff he says, but there's a lot of stuff that have some truth in it, too. So, you know, it's just how you listen to it. Thank you very much, Phil. I'm going to move on.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much. I'm going to go down to Mike in Watsonville. Did it all. Mike, welcome aboard KSCO. Scott Gold and Sam Quinn.
Hey, Sam and Scott. Good show.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot.
You're hitting on some pretty tough issues here. And, you know, like, as far as Obama goes, you know, like, I just think, you know, that the problem is we don't want to go back to Bush and Cheney again, okay? So, you know, as far as...
Well, I don't think we'll ever go back to Bush and Cheney. It's not even possible.
That's not going to be a factor.
Yeah.
policies will be the same. If the Republicans get in office.
Well, we haven't really swayed much in policies from them anyway. He's basically rode out on their coattails, so that's still happening.
What would be different than the Bush and Cheney years?
What would be different? Not much has changed. If you look at Obama's policies, they mirror it.
If the Republicans get in office, whoever, what would be different than the Bush and Cheney issues?
What would be different? Well, if you listen and a little bit later, we'll get into the Cloward Piven, the, 4 out of 5 people are collecting some form of, basically some form of welfare. I'd like to see us get back to being call me a nationalist if you will or want to. I believe in this country. I believe in pulling everything back. You know, that scares people when you say nationalists and all that.
I understand that, Scott. But, where did the $800 billion go that was on a pallet?
Hold on. Mike, you're going to have to hold for one. Let me break real quick, and I'm going to get back to you on the $800 billion.
Yeah, Jeff, Bob, and Joe,
we're on
and
here.
All of you. Hold tight with us. We'll be right back.
Our local Red Cross responds to over 2 home fires every week here in the Monterey Bay Area, and electrical problems are a leading cause of home fires. Hello, I'm Chris Jensen with JM Electric. One cause of home electrical fires is degradation, which simply means that your electrical wiring and connections have become old and worn out. Prime conditions for starting a fire in your home. JM Electric's current safe inspection can determine if there is degraded wiring inside your walls. To see if your home can benefit from a current safe inspection, call JM Electric today for a free, no-obligation assessment, 422-7819, or jamelectric.com. Now a word from our friends at your local Red Cross.
Hello, I'm Rita Chick, CEO of the Santa Cruz County Chapter of the American Red Cross. There were 117 home fires in the Monterey Bay area last year, and 70 similar disasters in Santa Cruz County. A lot of families needed our help. You can help them by donating your time and money to your Santa Cruz and Monterey County Red Cross chapters. We thank you, and your friends and neighbors thank you.
We've all heard the term baby boomer referring to those born from 1946 to 1964. There are an estimated 80 million baby boomers, with the first wave hitting the Social Security and Medicare systems in recent years, with more to follow. Many healthcare experts are predicting epidemics of Alzheimer's, type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and cancer among this group. However, these impending epidemics can be averted, as there is a new group emerging. This group we call the baby bloomers, because despite their chronological age, they are still physically fit, active, working, and playing. They've heard Dr. Wallach's message regarding diet, lifestyle, and nutritional supplementation. So while many around them diminish in health and vitality, they are blossoming and blooming into vibrant, healthy, on-the-go people. Wouldn't you rather be a longevity baby bloomer? For more information or to order, call Andy or Phyllis Anderson at 888-245-0300. That's 888-245-0300.
The full moon lights the silver rails winding around dark mountains and over steep gorges of jagged rock and one freezing cold rushing black mountain river. I wish there was enough time to describe all of the funny twists and turns that led up to now, but there isn't enough time because there's a ticking clock. And the 2 passengers we care most about don't know anything about it. To see what happens next, visit read.gov to read The Exquisite Corpse, a riveting adventure pieced together by John Sheska, Shannon Hale, Daniel Handler, and other popular authors. Explore new worlds. Read. Brought to you by the Library of Congress and the Ad Council.
I'm Jim Bohannon, host of America in the Morning. Each day, we take you around America and the world to bring you the latest. And while we keep our eye on the top news, we never lose sight of all the information you need to make your life complete. Morning Drive jumpstarts your day. What jumpstarts your morning drive? We'd like to.
Join Jim Bohannon on America in the Morning, 5 to 6, Monday through Friday on KSCO.
Welcome back. Dr. Bill Wattenberg Show. This is Scott D. Gold filling in. We've got Mike from Watsonville on the line, and he wanted to make one more statement real quick, and we'll get to a couple of the callers. About the $800 billion, we went around the room here, and we figured out that the $800 billion is what it costs to get a president elected, someone that has no background or anything.
That being the boy bailout.
Yeah, the bailout. That's what it cost to... we'll put your guy in, but we're going to need $800 billion.
Okay, so if Mitt Romney is going to obviously be the Republican nominee, right?
I don't know that.
At this point, it's looking that way.
Yeah.
Trippy.
And Barack Obama is just going to tear him a new one in a debate.
I don't want to sound like a racist, but that he's a white Obama. It's like a white rhino. All right, Mike. I really, really appreciate the call. I've got to get to, looks like it's, I would say Jeff, right?
Yeah, Jeff.
All right, thank you, guys.
You bet, man.
Jeff in Santa Cruz.
Thank you.
Right.
Jeff in Santa Cruz, you're on the air, KSCO. Go ahead.
Michael, hey, you know what? I was just listening, you know, the caller two callers ago was talking about why are we still talking about Obama's birth certificate, and it's because he hasn't answered any of the questions or revealed the real documents, and that's the whole thing, is that they don't want it. They don't want to be forthcoming and put these things up there, because then they can make people look like they're juvenile by still talking about it. And it's,
but let me ask you a question. Doesn't that raise the most suspicion? If you really have it, why would
that's
you?
That's exactly it.
Are they doing it on purpose? Are they? I mean, is
absolutely.
This?
I mean, they want the people on the right to look like they're paranoid, crazy people, and they can call them racist and everything else. When it's really just a simple, you know. Give us the basic documents that prove that you're eligible to be the president of the United States. And then you got the people on the right on the left who will back Obama no matter what his miserable record shows, because they think that they think they're more righteous because they support a black president.
And unfortunately, I don't like to talk about callers after they've dropped off and we're done with them. But the fact that I forget the guy's name, he implied that it's okay to have a president that lies. Wow, that we should just accept it because someone else lied. That's pretty gnarly. That you're going to lower your standards that far and then say, "Well, I expect the president to lie."
Or how about a president that's not even from this country and completely ineligible to, like, that should bother everybody. It doesn't matter if you're on the left or the right. You should be bothered by the fact that there's a possibility that the president of the United States was not born in this country and that he's not eligible. I mean, the guy applied for, like,
Jeff, what do you do for a living, if I might ask?
I'm self-employed. I work in advertising.
There you go. So you subscribe to the American dream.
Absolutely. And I've seen it, you know, and so
I love it.
This whole kind of.
Let me ask you a question. Could you get up every day and work? I don't know if I can say it. You work your butt off knowing that you're going to work harder and you're going to get rewarded with the same as everyone else. Could you wake up every morning and go to work?
I'll go surf the point every day, just like.
Exactly. And get paid the same. Yeah. So where's that going to put our country eventually here? Everyone's going to be out surfing.
Be in the toilet. Yeah,
there you go.
The surf's gonna be more crowded too.
Yeah, that's the worst part, I think. All right, Jeff, thank you very much. We're gonna roll over to John in San Jose. Sorry for the delay, John. Go ahead, KSCO.
Yeah, good. Thanks for taking my call. I think this is a good discussion, and it's really interesting to hear the outliers come out and bleed about how dare we. How dare anybody question this this birther issue? It is a real issue, and I think it's been expressed by a couple of folks very well.
Do you think that's passive aggressive to bring something up and then be called a racist by bringing it up? I mean, is that kind of passive aggressive?
Well, it's true spin.
Yeah.
In its purest form.
I mean, I've had it said to my face, "You're a racist." What? Asking a question here.
I can't be qualified to give you a psychiatric evaluation on that basis, but I certainly agree that it is crystal clear that any president and anyone seeking or expecting to be elected to that office, basically the most powerful individual in the world, should be expected to be absolutely and completely and utterly transparent with respect to their past and with their motivations. Clearly, the current president of the United States has a problem with the U.S. Constitution and has done many things, both policy-wise and position-wise, and simply his behavior has been contrary to or essentially argumentative with the Constitution, not the least of which is before the Supreme Court as we speak. So we have every right, I think we as not just the right or the Republicans or the conservatives, we have every right to express a concern about the idea that the man has not come forward voluntarily and fairly and completely and truthfully.
Well said, and I get the point, but I think my bigger problem, this is just a small piece of the puzzle here, but I think my bigger problem is with the government as a whole. I don't think I don't think anything has changed up there. I think it's business as usual. Get these everyone else to fight with each other. There's no opposition in the government.
Yeah, just the screwing of the American public is being funded by a different set of different group of people.
Nothing has changed. It's just continuing forward. We're fighting over all these just minuscule nothing issues. And while this goes on, I mean, that's a bigger issue.
And there's your divide and conquer.
Divide and conquer, divide and rule. This is horrible. And every time an independent group, and I'll use the Tea Party's made up of both parties. It's in the middle, and they do whatever they can to silence them.
Right.
You know, so it's well said. I appreciate the call.
If you have just a second, I actually didn't call about that. I just had to throw in my two cents on the current discussion. But I actually called about one other thing that I can make it pretty brief. My point that I wanted to make is I know you're going to be talking about the Rush situation and so on, and I continue to want to even call Rush, and I never have done this, but the term conservative, I believe, is misunderstood and not well described by most commentators. And needs clarification, and I would like to
do it quick.
By all means.
Yes, I'd love to hear it.
Okay. Now, we all know that the polls show that anywhere between 55 and 70% of the American public lists themselves and will respond to questions by either I am very conservative or somewhat conservative. And only a very small portion of the population refers to themselves as liberal, something around 20%. That being said, most people are conservative. Now, so what does that mean? And in my description, this is not original, description of conservatism is that it is not an ideology. Progressivism, communism, socialism, fascism, etc., on and on and on, are ideologies. They are constructs. They are mental and academically constructed theories about how to conduct a society, how society should be organized and operated. Conservatism, on the other hand, is nothing of the sort. Conservatism actually is the way that most people
with that said, and I've got to speed this, so I got a lot of guys holding on here. With that said, this whole divide and conquer thing is even more important, what I was talking about earlier. It's very important because you've got a whole group of people, which they don't want to have, deciding what happens. So whatever way you can split the parties up, they're doing it.
Absolutely.
You know, I believe a great man, Ferris Bueller, once said, isms are bad. I do not believe in isms.
Exactly.
That's exactly right.
Thank you very much for the call, John. Now we're going to John in Boulder Creek. John, you're with Super Sam Quentin and Scott Gold, filling in for Dr. Bill.
Hey, good afternoon. The reason I'm calling is, in listening to your conversation, it sort of dawns on me that there are so many different facets to the problems that we have in this country that it's so easy to get mired down into the details. And from my profession, I try to look at what the root cause of the problem is, and our government is kind of an entity that has evolved and grown into something that was never intended by the people that founded this country.
It's a self-sustaining monster, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty scary. You've got this phrase where people are called either on the right or the left, and that kind of refers to the aisle down the middle of Congress. And when I look at my elected representatives, I want them to represent me. And when you look at these votes where there's a clear defining line down the middle, it's obvious to me that these people aren't representing their constituents. They're representing their party, and their party is, you know, bought and paid for by the corporations. And this has been going on since, gosh.
You have hit it right on the head. You nailed it. That is exactly right.
Well, it's been going on since the Civil War, and it's really gotten
it's actually been going on since time began, actually.
Yeah, since the formation
Rome,
of governments.
Yeah, they've always figured out a way. You know, they use different forms of this with religion to control masses. They, you know, it's back to breaking up sections of people so that they can control them. And, you know, this we're seeing it. And I said this back years ago. I used to make this comment. And sorry, my voice is starting to go out. I made this comment years ago when that Bush and what's the guy that invented the internet?
Al Gore.
Al Gore, yeah.
The internet.
Internet, yeah, they invented it. When that happened, and it was just a couple votes, and it was pending back and forth, I was like, this is the ultimate divide and conquer. Everyone's fighting, and look what they were doing back
and
then.
In the meantime,
they did whatever they wanted. Yes, they do what they want. It's proven. Look at what was done during that time, and since then, we haven't had a say in any of it. So
yeah, the people are not being represented in Congress on either side of the aisle.
There's all these factions that are paid for, and if you go on and look up divide and rule on the internet and start reading and researching some of the facts about this, and then start looking at who pays certain factions to go in, this 1% thing, and I'm offended by that because I've worked my whole life to become a 1%er. That's where I'm going. You don't go play a baseball game to tie or lose. You go to win.
That's a fact.
All right? I go to race. I do some off-road racing. I'm thinking about it right now. It's the middle of April. I'm going to be racing. I'm not thinking right now, God, I hope I lose. All I dream about is winning.
Gee whiz, I just hope to come in second.
Oh, man, if I could just finish. Although, in off-road racing, you must finish first.
Finishing.
Yeah, you must first finish to finish first. Okay, it's a rough sport, but all I dream about is winning. This is my whole life. I'm absorbed in it. I want to win. I want to be a winner. Not I want to be last place, or I just hope I can just show up and break down, you know?
And that's supposed to be the American way.
Yes, and now it's frowned upon.
You know, for me, I want my kids to be able to afford to have the American dream. And what I see going on, it's just not going to happen.
It will happen. We're here to tell you right now that it will happen. It will continue to happen.
Dude,
you're going to fight for it.
The problem that we have right now is something that has been building and building for many, many years. And it's gotten to the point, because of economics, that it's sort of coming to the forefront. You look at these distractions like Obama's birth certificate.
Let me sum something up. We're at the top of the hour. I want to sum something up for you real quick, John. And when I say the American dream, it could be anything for anybody. It could be raising a family, building a home. You know what I mean? It's different for every single person, but that American dream could be freedom to walk the street. You know, it could be anything. When I say that, I don't think people to think that that you have to make X amount of money. It's not. It's different for every single person.
And can I say one more thing?
Go ahead. You got about 45 seconds. Do it.
Okay, Ben Franklin, a long time ago, he said that democracy is two wolves and a sheep voting on what's for dinner, and liberty is a well-armed sheep contesting the vote. That's what this country is actually based on, and that's the Constitution is so important. I would like to see everyone get a copy of the Constitution and actually read it.
I actually just signed up online, so
thanks
we're,
a lot, John.
We're cutting out.
Thanks
Billy and Roy, we're going to get right back to you. Give us just a minute to do the top of the hour.
Okay, we're gonna be back at 6 minutes past. Oh no, it's gonna be about 9 minutes after. I think we have a commentary coming up. In the meantime, you're listening to KSEO AM 1080. Goodbye.
Vote Ron Paul.
You're listening to AM 1080 KSEO Santa Cruz. 1 p.m. time for CBS News.
Supreme Court sessions in decades, the constitutional debate over the president's massive health care overhaul legislation. Today, the justices got to the nub of it. Let's go live now to CBS's Barry Bagnato in Washington. Barry?
Can Congress compel Americans to buy insurance or pay a penalty? Yes, the government's lawyer Donald Verrilli insisted in the packed courtroom.
The Affordable Care Act addresses a fundamental and enduring problem in our health care system and our economy.
But the court's majority conservatives, including potential swing vote Anthony Kennedy, raised concerns that if Congress is allowed to do this, it can create all sorts of mandates for the sake of economic regulation.
For burial services.
You can make people buy broccoli.
Can the government require you to buy a cell phone when you need emergency services?
3 days of arguments over the law wrap up here tomorrow, live at the Supreme Court. Barry Bagnato, CBS News.
Trayvon Martin's parents are on Capitol Hill talking to members of the House about racial profiling and hate crimes.
Late to our situation, and it breaks their heart just like it breaks mine.
That's Trayvon's mother. Federal and state investigations are underway. A grand jury gets the case in early April. JetBlue says the pilot of a flight from New York to Las Vegas had a medical problem.
People behind me got up and started going up there, a bunch of big guys, and trying to help. And we found out that the guy banging was actually the pilot who was trying to get into the cockpit because the other co-pilot had locked him out.
That's a passenger, Grant Heppes. The pilot wound up restrained on the cabin floor while an off-duty pilot joined the co-pilot to divert the plane to Amarillo, Texas. Two people are dead. At least 16 homes have burned in a wildfire southwest of Denver. CBS's Barry Peterson is in Conifer, Colorado.
The fire still is not contained. They've got nearly 1,000 homes evacuated. That means thousands of people have been chased away. Not sure how much damage, maybe as many as 25 homes, and these are expensive homes. Now just piles of ashes and dirt.
Remember the huge Grand Station fire in Arizona? Grand Station fire. Two cousins have pleaded guilty to starting that fire, the largest in Arizona history. Syrian President Bashar Assad in the city of Homs says he accepts the UN's peace plan.
We will judge Assad's sincerity and seriousness by what he does, not by what he says.
Secretary of State Clinton says, among other things, Assad must immediately order his forces to stop firing and withdraw from populated areas, and that, she says, will clear the way for a legitimate political process.
CBS's Cammie McCormick at the State Department. Home prices went down in January, fifth month in a row in most of the U.S. Gasoline prices are up, historic levels this time of year, and consumers expect inflation to go up. Now consumer confidence has fallen back a point and change. On Wall Street, the Dow's down 43 points, NASDAQ off 2, oil about 107 a barrel. This is CBS News.
The following KSCO commentary is an encore presentation. Here is Kay Swirling.
Last week I received an urgent letter for funds to support Sheriff Joe Arpaio of Arizona. It appears that the powers that be do not like the fact that Arpaio is being too successful in his job. Arpaio is being punished for being tough on crime. He continues to fight to stop illegal immigration, and he forces prisoners to wear pink jumpsuits, and he cracks down on the criminal wave coming across our southern border with Mexico. According to the Wall Street Journal, since February 2007, Sheriff Arpaio has arrested about 30,000 illegal immigrants, and the administration is now attempting to curb the powers of this true American. Now Obama wants to discredit Arpaio and silence him and remove him from his job. Why, you might wonder, would our leader, who promised change, honesty, and transparency, want to discard the sheriff who's doing such a good job for our country? Well, here's the simple answer. Liberals led by the ACLU have filed 2,700 lawsuits against Sheriff Joe, accusing him of illegally profiling Latinos. But they are indeed illegal, and they are Latinos from Mexico, and that is not profiling. Also, President Obama has been doing a dismal job as president, and he knows that if he has any chance of remaining in office for more than one term, clearly he must do everything in his power to convince the country to give amnesty to the illegal immigrants who are here. If that happens, of course those new Americans will keep him in office for 2 terms. Along with amnesty, the following will happen. The illegals will expect welfare benefits, free health care, free hospitalization for childbirths, and free schooling in Spanish. And who will pay for those perks? You and me. Most Americans do not get these taxpayer-funded handouts. Why should those who come here illegally get them? The left likes to think there are 11 million illegals here. That was the estimate 8 years ago. The amount could now be closer to 29 million. To make this wonderful, tough, honest American Sheriff Joe Arpaio the fall guy for Obama's agenda, I say it stinks. Sheriff